Therapie Unplugged, the podcast. I'm going to start officially.
Okay.
By saying hi and welcome the listener and the viewer to another episode of the podcast She Unplugged, where my goal is to bring amazing women, amazing men to the table to tell their stories. And we just sort of, before we started talking officially, said what a shame it is that some people don't believe they have an amazing story to tell. But what I can tell you, Catherine is not one of them. She definitely knows she has an amazing story. And I'm just going to say, hi, Catherine. So nice to have you in the podcast.
Hi, Hania. Thank you very much for inviting me. And really nice to be here with you.
You're very welcome. So tell us, what are you currently doing in Switzerland? What's your job right now?
Yeah, I'm a sales and marketing manager for EHL Advisory Services, which is a consulting branch of EHL, which is an hospitality management school in the upper side of Lausanne.
You saying we're not very good. We women are not very good, and I'm just reading it out. Supporting each other, which is quite a shame, because there's so much that could be leveraged from other women. Why do you think that we are not supporting each other enough? What are sort of your experiences, and how can we change that?
Yeah, it's a really good question. I do believe that women have this tendency to look to each other as competitors, or maybe struggle so much in finding their position within the company against men, or how to get this leadership position, that they forget that they can actually leverage the experience and the stories of other women to actually take their place. And you don't need in the company to be someone else to succeed. I said it because I've seen it in many companies, and I believe probably at some point I was like that too, like someone that intended to be a man to get a position within the company. And I realized that it was not me. And maybe I'm more emotional than men or than other peers. Maybe I'm more sensitive in some aspect, and it's okay, because that's who I am. And as soon as women accept themselves for who they are and really enter the company with authenticity, then they can, you know, really do amazing things, and they can be really successful. You don't need to compare yourself with anybody else. You don't need to be something different, something you are not. I'm not a man leader, thanks God. I'm a woman leader.
You said you probably were one of those more masculine-driven women before. What happened, or what was the trigger for you to first realize that that's how you worked? And how did you then change it? Because it's not that simple just to say, oh, I'm embrace my femininity now. I mean, I've been on that journey for years, and it's really a difficult one. Those two things, what was the trigger for you to realize, and how did you actually step into that femininity comfortably?
First of all, I think the fact that most of my background at the beginning, I was working in a really, really masculine world. I've been in the food and beverage industry, and specifically I was in the wine industry. And being a woman in the men's world is really, is really a struggle to make you hear or to have the others listening to you. And when you are also managing pure men, sometimes older men, men with a lot of characters in a Latin country, you kind of need to find your position. And at that time I was younger, I was less confident. And for me, I mean, it was doing it like they do, or my all example around me were other men. So I didn't had any female leader example. So it was the easiest way to do it. Okay, so in order to make myself respected, or in order to make my point, I need to be more like them. But you don't realize that you are doing that. You just, you know, go every morning to your work, and in a way you are somebody else. And this you realize when you lose a little bit yourself and you don't know anymore who you are. And you feel uncomfortable in your skin, but you don't know what it is. And it took me a lot of time before realizing that it was not the only way. And I trust when I became a mom, my femininity came back. And that's when I realized that I was not only my job, I was not only a spouse, I was not only a working female leader, I was something more complex than that. And I think that's when I realized that I needed to embrace my femininity. It was a long journey, actually. I started to look at a female group, female networking. I started to look within my network, over leaders, female leaders, and exchanging a lot. And at first, you know, it didn't feel also comfortable because it was something that I didn't know. So it was like, okay, what is that? I mean, at first, you know, you were not even able to acknowledge your failure, or acknowledging that you have this sensitivity, or that you openly, you know, say, I may break sometime. So I think it's a long journey. But now,
would you say that becoming a mom, because you said that, and I'm sort of wondering if that was maybe also for me a breaking point. Would you say that becoming a mom broke you open in a sense of having that other demeanor, having those leadership behaviors that you just copied, you modeled it from your male counterparts. Becoming a mom, was that something where all that kind of fell away and you felt that vulnerability, and so that femininity just had no other choice but come out?
Thank you very much for that, Anya. It's vulnerability. I couldn't find the word, but that's exactly that. That's where you break a little bit, definitely, definitely. You become more vulnerable. Yeah, that's exactly that. I think becoming a mom, put everything in perspective, put a lot of things in perspective. And also the fact that when I became a mom, I waited more than 10 years before becoming a mom. So for me, it came like a surprise. I was not expecting it anymore. And when I learned that I was expecting my daughter, for me, it was a tsunami of emotions, of many things. And I'm really happy because this made me realize that I could be a whole and I could be authentic with myself. For me, it was really a breaking point, becoming a mom.
When you look at how you were before, can you give us a couple of specific examples where you say, you know, before that, I would do that, I would behave in that way, I would react in the team like that, or I would take decisions like that. But now I'm doing it like that. Do you have a couple of examples?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I'm not ashamed to say that at some point I was so career driven. And for me, you know, like, how come? I mean, is she coming late to the office because she has to drop the children? How come? You know, it's even, you know, what men thinks, like sometimes of the comment that you get, like, oh, it's a woman, we're going to put her in this position. She will probably get sick, or the children will get sick. So she will, I'm not quite sure if we should give her this project management, because, you know, at some point she's going to want to have children. And so, you know, she's not going to be available and things like that. I mean, you are so much in this kind of environment that you become one of them, and you become someone that thinks like that. And it's like, of course, either I've got my children's and my home to take care of, or my career. I mean, both. I'm never going to be someone if, at the job perspective, if I'm a mom. It is extremely sad what I'm saying, but it's a reality. And that's when, you know, you realize that there is something wrong, that we have so much mental stigma and mental images, because we have been raised in this masculine world. I mean, and yes, that's the most sad part of all that. The fact that us as women, at some point, we can be more hurtful to other women than even the men. You understand what I'm saying?
Sometimes we have a saying, it's like some women in leadership positions become more of a man than the men.
Yeah.
And I think there's definitely a wrong belief that we have to, first of all, we have to prove that we are better than them. I think that's
of
wrong.
Course. Of course, then that's one of the beliefs.
To be better than them, we have to do exactly the same thing they do, just better. And again, I think that's wrong. I think we do things differently.
Thanks God.
Yeah. And there, the change in values, I think, on a company, on a society level, has to take place.
Yeah.
Because if we don't value women becoming mums, which like is something for our society, then how are we creating in companies like job sharing or part-time opportunities, whatever it takes, you know? I heard the statistics that due to Corona now, the women will predominantly lose their jobs. unproportionately to men. And women will basically, or the movement of women towards equality will be pushed back about 25 years. My question to you is, you are such an advocate for equal rights and for having women in leadership positions and supporting each other. What do you see that we can do to go against that movement already, against that development already?
I hope, in all honesty, that the statistics are wrong and that it will really not be like that, first of all. Because, I mean, even last week, we commemorate the 50 years of the votation in Switzerland, only 15 years. So I really hope that it's not going to happen. But I think we need to speak up and we need to stand for our rights and for our values. First of all, things are not like before, in the sense that there is no more standard who is taking care of the children, who is bringing the bread at home. I mean, in my own case, if my daughter is sick tomorrow, she's not going to cry for me. She's going to cry for a daddy. And you know, it's fine, because my husband is the one since 2013 that is being at home, preparing our daughter to go to school, preparing the meals, because I'm the one working 100%. And when we came to Switzerland, he left his job and he embraced taking care of our daughter. And you know, it's fine. It's fine. And I'm fine with that. Ultimately, my daughter is not going at school naked. She's maybe going with a yellow shirt, a red pants, whatever. It's fine. Maybe my home is not super clean. It's fine. So for me, in order to not make this happen, we need to speak up and we need to stand for our rights, because I don't know why we should be losing more job than men. Why? Because we have less responsibility? That is not right. Because we are not the head of the family? That is not right. Because we are more vulnerable? That is not right. I don't know. Why is it going to be like that? I think we still have a long way to go. And it's so sad that every little stone that we have been placing in the years could just break. Mm-hmm. Thanks God, I believe today there is more and more men that embrace also their femininity, mm-hmm. and that realize that it does not have to be like that. Companies also are putting more and more women into leadership positions, trusting them. And I would say, you know, we have clear example also during this coronavirus pandemic and crisis, how some women leaders at some government level have been quite good, I would say, in taking the proper decision. So actually, I think we should reconsider a little bit that, and companies and government should reconsider a little bit that. If we have both sides, and if we have a good balance between men and women leaders at leadership position, we will have more talents within the company, more creativity, and more opportunity to actually come out from this crisis. And it will be a big step back and a big mistake to actually put on the side a lot of women in their jobs, because I think then we will be stepping back also in terms of economics, in terms of business, because you need female abilities also in this job position. We are, let's say it, sometimes more empathic to situations, more listening to the customer's pain point. We are more comprehensive sometimes with our colleagues and subordinates, and companies, they need that. We are striving for more sensibility, can be in men or women, but we are striving for having within the professional environment more empathic and more soft side. And it can be, again, men or women, because there is some men that are amazing at that also. And it's important to acknowledge that also.
Absolutely. And I don't think it's an either or. I think the future is only possible when we finally become an end.
Yeah.
And the man, I mean, it's perfectly okay that everyone has their strengths and their weaknesses. And it's not to say that those skills that you named can't be brought to a table by a man. But at the same time, there are women who bring certain things, and it's the collaboration, it's the matching what we need. And you talked about some female leaders. I mean, when we look at New Zealand, when we look at Germany, there are certain a certain skill set there in those leaders, where they look at the overall good that needs to come out, and not so much the short-term gain personally or the party or whatever. So there's a different mindset from what I've seen in those women that really drive the country in the right direction. How are you personally, as a manager, supporting your team in this time of crisis?
Yeah, more than a team, it's really colleagues, and it's really a group that is part of my environment. For me, it can be either just calling sometimes, not only to ask about an activity, but to ask about the person. Just calling, how are you today? I mean, this is key, because before we are colleagues, before we have these professional activities, we are human. And these are really tough times for everybody. And I have some younger colleagues that are living on their own in a small apartment that have been during the confinement without anyone to see or to take care of. It's really tough on everybody. And on the young people, I'm saying 25, 28 years old, that are single, maybe, with no children. Sometimes just this call, like, hello, how are you? Or even, you know, inviting in Zoom to take a coffee. Let's not talk about work. Let's just, you know, talk about something else. This is the way I think leaders can support their people, in making time for the little things. There is no such things as little things. In paying attention what's going on with your people. Maybe, you know, they are right now trying to buy a house, or trying to support their children with their driving license. I mean, getting interested in what's happening beside job in the life of the others is extremely important. Acknowledging them. And sometimes, you know, it's just like, by the way, the presentation you did was amazing, and really thank you. I mean, also, you know, not being afraid of saying thank you, not being afraid of being grateful, not being afraid of asking help also. Like, you know, in that part, I'm a little bit behind. What do you think? Ask also for their opinion. Because sometimes we tend also to organize some group work and it's like, okay, this is C-level, this is managerial level, but maybe the person that is assisting on the field can have really great ideas. Have you asked them? I mean, we are in an unpredictable times. So ask everybody. Don't underestimate some of the people because they have a different position than yourself. This is really important. There is no small man. Mm-hmm. It's like in an hotel. I mean, from the housekeeping to the general manager, everybody is important and everybody is part of the customer journey. And for me, that's the most important, the valorization of everybody. Because we are in a value chain and everybody is important, from the housekeeper to the top management. And that's really important. As soon as you are more open with everybody and you ask opinions and you ask this person, I would like your opinion. What do you think? What would you do? Then, I mean, people at first will be a little bit surprised. Like, you want my opinion? Yes, of course. I want your opinion. What would you do? And you know, you can receive really amazing answers. And also I think people appreciate that you valorize them. My mom was an housekeeper. So I'm really well placed to say that. For me, I mean, there is no small job. There is no less important opinion than another.
It's like what you're describing, even with the metaphor of a hotel, it's like a very well-oiled machinery.
Yeah.
Every little part of that machine needs to work at its best for the hotel to run.
Yeah.
And I think that's very, very valuable that you say that, because in some companies we find that the bigger the company, the more of a challenge that is. And I find that so important to notice every little part of the team and saying, I see you, thank you.
Yeah.
Because that's what we all wish for, to be seen and thanked.
Exactly.
Now, you did say you're working 100%. You have your daughter, you have the husband who is taking sort of looking after the house part and the household and the kids part. At the same time, how are you structuring your day? What measurements do you have set in place that you will have a balance between 100% very stressful job and your personal life, being a mom, being a partner? How do you do that?
I will be extremely honest. I was not always really good at that. I'm becoming better and much better, because I mean, I don't want to participate today and say, yeah, I'm a superwoman, I have my job, ta 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 ta. This is wrong for me, yeah, to say that. So I'm still not perfect at the balancing thing, I must recognize. And for me, it's not a fragility, it's just the way it is. But I'm trying to be better on every day, a little bit better. And what I do really good now is the fact that if I'm with my daughter, I'm with my daughter. There is no phone, there is nothing else. I tried that really, really strongly. And for me, that's important. Whatever you do, you need to be there. Because if you say, yeah, let's play or let's do something, and you're still stressed by the email popping up in your phone, this is not balancing. Because I mean, a lot of people say, I'm extremely balanced. I mean, I work. It's not multitasking. This is wrong. I mean, for me, the multitasking thing, it's one of the worst words I hate. There is nothing like multitasking. Either you are in or you are not. But this of having the phone, having the tablet, having the TV, having the food to be prepared, no way. I mean, if you're gonna be with your daughter, be with your daughter. If you're gonna be with your work, be with your work. If you're gonna be with your friend, you have to be decent enough to be with your friend. And for me, this is what I'm doing on a daily basis. And I try really hard. It's like, okay, now I can spend time doing that. And you know, I close. Everybody is unique. I mean, yes, I have an agenda, of course, this is helpful. I have some slot. And even if, for example, I don't have a meeting or something like that, you will see my agenda is full of blocks, because it's important to take time for each part of your life. But more than that, I mean, is also the spontaneity. And sometimes it's like, well, don't know, it's Wednesday afternoon, the children is at home, maybe I will spend more time with her and I will work later on tonight. And it's also okay, because you know, today you're here, tomorrow you don't know. So at least every day trying to make somebody from your direct environment happy, trying to do your best at your work. And you know, maybe it's not going to be perfect. It's not going to be super balanced all the time. But at least you need to try and to do your best. And that's at least what I'm focusing, trying to do my best. And maybe tonight I will do my brief and say, yeah, this didn't went really well. But tomorrow I will try again.
I think that's really important. That's the giving yourself the permission of failing.
Of course.
I was just talking to one of my coaching clients, and we kind of like wanted to change certain behavior patterns. I said, well, be clear that this is a process, and that you will fall back into, oh, I didn't switch off my phone. Oh, and now the emails pop up. Oh, you know. Okay, I try again and I try again. So until I'm happy with what I do, I think that is what I'm hearing. Giving yourself permission every day to start again.
Yeah.
Kind of having that blank slate and saying, well, I try again. I give it my best. And what I also heard, and I totally, totally, totally agree with you, multitasking doesn't exist. Whoever tells me they are able to multitask, sorry, no. The brain is 100%, you give it your 100% and you get 100% out. If you split into two, three different activities, you only get 20-30%. That's it.
Yeah. And you're not going to do, I mean, you can't be at your best with everything.
No.
If you don't dedicate yourself to, it's like, I mean, if you have three project management at the same times, sorry, I don't think that if you have three big projects at the same time, you're gonna equally do good at the three projects. I mean, you will do your best, definitely. You will organize yourself. There is certain ability of skilling, organizing, making time for different things. You will delegate some other things, but you can't expect to be 100 all the time. Mm-hmm. Because then if you do that, you are forgetting about yourself. Mm-hmm. And then is the body that at some point does not follow. And that's something that also we have made believe woman, that you can be superwoman. You need to be the perfect spouse, the perfect mom, the perfect leader, the perfect friend, the perfect daughter. This is multitasking. No way. Mm-hmm. I mean, be you, and maybe some days you will have more failure than other days, but it's okay. Mm-hmm. As soon as you learn or intend to continue learning about your failure, I think you are in a good path.
Yes, totally. Now, let me ask you that. Because women are told they need to be perfect in everything, or maybe we believe it ourselves, or I don't know where it came from, but it's very, very deeply rooted in women, this need to be perfect. For young women who would like to have it all, would like to have a career and be a mother. And I was a young woman like that. And I was still at the time thinking, and I realized that much, much later, that I created that belief, you can't have it all. You have to make a decision. And I stepped away from the career to become the mom. And it took me then years to kind of like work on that belief. How are you supporting and advising the younger generation of women who say, look, I really want to be in a leadership position. I think I can do great, but I also would like to be a mom. Maybe not today and tomorrow, but I would like to do that. How are you supporting those women?
I think it is, first of all, accepting not to put too much pressure on yourself. I mean, of course, you can be a leader. I mean, there's no way that you cannot. You can be a leader and you can have a leadership position. And you can also be a mom, because these two things are not incompatible. It's just allowing yourself not to put too much pressure. Because I think when we say, I want a leadership position, you don't have to lose yourself in this leadership position or lose who you are in this leadership position. You don't need to be a man to be in this leadership position. So for me, it's more like step by step, and also understanding really what is behind you willing to be in this leadership position. Is it about the position itself? Is it to say that, is it a sign of success for you? I mean, because it's not only saying it, is understanding what it means. For me, that's the main point. Why do you want to be in a leader position? Because it's going to give you visibility, because that you want to matter, you want to be considered. I think it is understanding what is behind your expectation. That is my advice. Ask yourself what you really want. Because someone that is taking care of his daughter and maybe not having a professional career is still a leader. I mean, there is no most challenging company and enterprise than raising children. So it's also a leadership position.
I second that. How old is your daughter?
It's she's 8 years old.
Enjoy. Mine are nearly 14 and 15.
I have some years still.
So that's, but that is really important to find the reason why you want to step into
exactly.
that.
Exactly. Yeah.
And go from there, because if it's, yeah, it's a very different motivation. It's a very different why. If I want to have it as having the position, or if I say, once I have the position, these are all the things I can change. These are all the things I can decide to. These are the things I can influence. That's a very different rooted motivation. That's a different drive.
Yeah. Is it about money? Is it about ambition, personal achievement? Is it about the position? Is it about the influence? Because there is also some position in companies where you are not specifically named as a leader, but you are leading and you are impacting a lot of departments. So what it is about, really, I would really help those young women to define better what they really want. Because sometimes we want something because we've seen it in others, or because it's like, you know, having this beautiful car that all the successful people have. I mean, why you want it? Why you really want it? What is really your motivation? Because sometimes you realize that the motivation is not really the position. The motivation is not really the job. Is not really is because of belief, and is because of things you have been growing with. Like, to be successful, you need to be a manager, you need to be a director, you need to no, times are not anymore like that. I mean, it's just one role between all the others. Your most important role is being yourself and listening to what yourself need. Your inner you, what do you need as a woman? And I can say, I mean, I need a job, yeah, to provide to my family. I need to have fun in my job. Because, I mean, there is nothing worse than waking up in the morning and like, oh, I need to go again. Yeah, I need to make a difference within a team, to be able to support, to be able to influence, to be able to participate. I need to be as a good mom as I can for my daughter, to give her all the tools that she needs to be successful tomorrow. Her own successful, whatever it means for her. Because the success is not the same definition for everybody.
So, and I think that's, that's something, Catherine, where very often we don't take the time to actually ask ourselves, what does success mean to me?
Exactly.
What does it take, or what do I have to have in my life so I can say I'm successful?
And I'm happy.
Because we talked about success now, let's just talk a little bit about happiness in Morocco.
Oh, yeah.
I read that and I thought, wow. Tell us, what did you do there and why?
I participated in 2017 in the Rally Aïcha des Gazelles. This is a French competition that is happening in Morocco, in the desert of Morocco. It's a 4x4 competition in that sense. It's off drive and it's 100% feminine. And amazing. I mean, I felt so alive. I felt so alive. One of my best experiences so far that I've done. So you are those 9 days without phone, Listen to that. Fantastic. Here, it's already a winner. No phone, no computer, no TV, no nothing. Gazelle, I mean, because it's by two women. The dessert, and you're driving all day long. You need to find your way, the shortest way. It is not about speed. It is about strategy, how to find your way. And sometimes you get lost, let's be honest, but it's okay. I mean, you find back your way. And this was also for me a revelation on, you know, what is also happiness, what is just breathing, you know, just being right there in that moment and being for yourself. It was a time for me, to be honest. I was away from my daughter, my husband. It was resourceful, a lot. And I realized that I'm able to do more, than just, you know, what you're supposed to do on a daily basis. And I think for me, the most important thing of this rally and this competition was not about winning, was not about being against the others. It was about embracing being a female with this driving in the middle of the desert with a lot of roadblocks, trying to find ways to go out. And here I find out how some women are really good at helping each other. And that's, we are so good sometimes at that. And that's when you really feel like a whole. And for me, it was amazing. I also wanted to do more. So 1 year after, I went back to Morocco at a trek. This was with no car, no nothing. And we were four women, four different generation. One that was 20 something, the other one 30 something, 40 something, and 50 something. And we walked 100 kilometers in 4 days in the desert. And that was also amazing. Just realizing, you know, being here in that moment and doing something totally different. And something really, really important to find yourself, to get back mm-hmm. to your inner you. I really recommend that.
What did surprise you the most about yourself out of those two experiences?
I'm so different when I'm... I realized that I was a totally different person in the desert. I was more kind to myself, more kind to others, more chill out kind of. I was more fun, more less stressed out. Closer to my needs, I think. Yeah. I mean, when everything else stops, when there is no noise, you get back to what is essential, to what is unique. And I realized that I don't need to apologize for being me. I don't need to be afraid of being who I am. And I really fully express all my talents there. And that's when I realized that I can do so much more and that we can share so much more with others. And there is actually this idea in my mind to do something more for women. That's why I was so happy that you invited me to this podcast, because I don't know, you know, maybe it's just sharing a story. I don't know if it's worth, not worth, but at least, you know, like saying it's okay. It's okay that sometimes you fail in your life, that sometimes, you know, you are on the border of falling. But there is always this hand that can pull you up. And I hope, you know, I can be the hand for somebody out there. Because I've been myself on the edge of falling. Sometimes I actually felt. And, you know, I'm okay to say it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, that is valuable, you know. That's and if you ever do that trek again, it's funny because I always wanted to do a car race.
That was let's do it. Say I always wanted.
It's not quite that simple currently.
It's never simple.
Yes, absolutely. But the trek, I would say, I can. What I lovingly call my brum brum, which is like my walking aid. I can push my walking aid through the desert. That I can do. So if you ever do that again, I volunteer to be then the 50 plus generation.
With pleasure. I would love to. I just always look for additional opportunities to do that again or to make other women discover that and make themselves discover themselves also.
And what I also like about when you said, you know, women from different generations, I think that is the strength we've kind of like need to use more, that line of women through the generations and learning from the elder. Observing how they do things, getting acquainted with what it means to be a woman. For that, we need to have other women who went before us as examples.
Yeah. And, you know, you will be surprised also that what I really liked also in the trek, for example, with the fourth generation, I had so much fun with the lady that came with us, the 20 years lady, because you also learn from those youngsters. You learn so much. I mean, and it's, you know, refreshing to be able to mix up those generation and like, you know, seeing a little bit of yourself in them, like, wow, yeah, go, or like motivating them to fight for their beliefs, to fight for what they believe in and to go for it, like you know, this and this happened at work, yeah, go back and like that, and you know, mention it and let's do a coaching session. I'm not a coach. I'm not. But like, okay, you have this meeting with your boss in 1 week. Okay, let's have a conversation. What is it that you prepared? What you're going to say to him? What is it that you want to put on the table? And that's so important. And everybody can influence. And everybody can support. At least you're saying, let's talk about it. If I can support, let's do it.
That is amazing. That's so true. I wish I had met you when I was 20. Now, right at the end, Catherine, there's always one question. Was there a question that you wish I had asked and I didn't? And or is there something where you say that I would like to underline? I find that the most important thing?
I didn't even felt like there were questions. I mean, I really liked the way everything went today. I hope the question that you ask and the podcast and my French speaking way with Latin movement will be valued at some point by someone. So for me, the questions were really fine. What I would like to underline is that, every experience, every story is unique. Every path is different. And don't be afraid to be yourself. Don't be afraid to say that you are not perfect. It's fine. Don't be afraid to fully express your talents, your creativity. Don't apologize for being you, for being a woman. Never. Never apologize for being a woman. Never. This is so important. And each time you can reconnect with your inner you, do it. Can be in the desert, it can be with a good friend and with a good cup of coffee. But don't forget to reconnect with your inner self. This is so important. Never forget about yourself. And please feel more determined and fully energized each time you do that. I'm still right now just reflecting about the statistic that you mentioned earlier about the coronavirus. And step back. No way. We can't go back. We can't go back. We need to step. We need to speak up. How mothers, older women have been fighting so hard to put ourselves where we are right now. So it's out of order that we step back. This is what I would like to underline
for me. That is, I think, one of the important things. And I can just refer the listener to Geraldine. She mentioned that statistics for the UK, Ireland, that are the predictions. As grim as they are. And I think that's not a local issue, because I mean we hold the lowest paying job, we women, worldwide.
Yeah.
Regardless if we do a simple job or a higher end job, there's still the pay gap. So it's the women who suffer the most worldwide in poverty, in unfairness. And yeah. I think the pandemic really brought that to the surface yet again. And so
And also not forgetting women that are suffering violence and children in this pandemic. This is for me something that is quite also important.
Yes.
To acknowledge.
So I'm gonna thank you. And I'm going to take one of the things you said and I pull that out and say, go and talk to somebody. Speak your truth, ask how they are, and also talk about freely how you feel. Connect, say, I can't do this, I'm having a bad day.
Yeah.
Be honest. And that way, that was so important when you said that. I think that way we get more and more to the point of being ourselves, and that being good enough.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so, definitely.
Thank you, Catherine.
No, thank you very much for this opportunity. Amazing.
You're very welcome. I'm wishing you the best of all. And like I said, I come in the desert. I do that.
Let's think about it. Now it's in my mind, so I will catch up again. Huh?
Thank you, Catherine. Bye.
Bye. Thank you very much.
You heard a production by Anja Förster. Copyright Anja Förster. Music by audionautics.com.